with Mike.
Back to Mouthing Off with Mike, the only wrestling podcast that is a part of a balanced daily breakfast. This episode, I am joined with a lot of good brothers. For the first time ever, we've got ourselves a roundtable discussion taking a look at WrestleMania. Coming in first, I'm going to introduce some new faces to the show here. We've got Hugh and Brandon from Championship Culture. Say what's up, fellas.
That's me. That's me. H-A-S-T-H-E to the 3-R-D. What's up, baby? We here. The chance in the building, baby. You know I was going to bring it out. You knew I was going to bring it out.
There it is.
You thought I wasn't?
The reigning,
shout out to Four Sides.
Three count trivia champions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It looks good on me. Thank you.
We got my man from Out of Pocket and Drop the Mic. You can listen to him on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio. We got Michael Davis. What's good, brother?
I want that championship.
Now, if you were not familiar, Mike and myself were in the trivia contest. Unfortunately, we lost to wrestling in the middle, and there seems to be some controversy surrounding that loss that we'll get into maybe at a later date and time. As for new faces, we've got, for the first time ever on Mouthing Off with Mike, the show is now legitimate because we have a professional wrestler. I got top notch Dyson Bennett. Say what's up, my man.
Top notch is in the building and ready to mouth off about WrestleMania with Mouthing Off with Mike. Thank you for having
me. Oh, my man, I'm ready. And last but certainly not least, my man just laced up his fresh Timberlands. We got Chano Hayes from Four Sides of the Ring to be joined later by his tag team partner, Brandy Savage, whenever he decides to finish getting those Tims on. What's up, Chano?
Here, how's it doing, everybody? Listen, I love the introduction, but Mike's acting like he's not a native New Yorker himself. He has a pair of baby Tims in the back. Now they're just Dickie boots because he lives in Arizona. But don't get it twisted. Mike has some Tims in the back corner, guys.
Listen, I don't rep New York. I've been out in Arizona for almost 10 years now. I was a PA boy before that, so I feel like I'm a fake New Yorker. But Pops is from Queens. Mom's from Staten Island. So I guess I got a little bit there.
You know what it is? I understand that because my whole entire life, like for the past like 5 years, I'd be like, yeah, I'm from Harlem. But I lived on Staten Island for like 12 years now, so it's beating me up, guys. And I just say, where are you from? Oh, yeah, I'm just a Staten Islander. You know what I mean?
And, if you know that Staten Islander shit does not get people far, you know?
No. They shit on you immediately. That's, is that even a borough? I'm like,
Here he is. Speak of the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Late, but certainly not least, we got Brandy Savage here. What's up, my man, Brandy?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome, Brandy. We're already live. We're already talking. We got ourselves a roundtable discussion.
Tell him again, Hugh. Put it back. Put it back. Huh? Brandy can see it. He missed it.
Oh.
I know he missed the belt. I know he missed the belt. Put it back. Keep it right there so he can see it.
I don't miss that belt.
Make sure Brandy see it. Make sure right there.
You see that right there, right? You need to put it closer? Just a little bit closer or take it back?
Does that say champion?
Yeah, it's champion.
We should have worn our shirts.
I wish I heard, right?
We had shirts that say we're the champions. We wore it last night on the flagship show at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Because we had to show off that way. We should have showed off today.
We should have.
I mean, I see it. Like, don't worry.
We look like yin and yang.
Mike's over here dropping the booze. Mike wants it contested. There's an asterisk next to the championship. There's an asterisk next to everything. Throw an asterisk into everything. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got two nights of WrestleMania to cover. I don't want to keep these boys any longer than I need them because it's late on the East Coast, and since I'm a West Coast guy, I really don't give a shit. But I know they do. They've got lives themselves. So we're going to take a look here, ladies and gentlemen. WrestleMania night one, probably one of the coldest WrestleManias of all time, possibly. I know for all of us in attendance, we were freezing our meatballs off.
Yes.
But that did not stop the action from getting hot and heavy when it comes to the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. So what did you guys think about Mommy Rhea Ripley versus The Man? I'll start with Championship Culture since they're right to my right.
Well, first of all, I want to start off with her entrance. Mommy, you set it off with that entrance, girl. Of course, you came through with the vibes. I was feeling it. But of course, you know, I want to shout out Becky too because I heard she was under the weather. and she still went out there and performed in the cold weather. But yeah, it was a great match. Mommy came out on top, as I expected.
I like it. Let's hear it. Let's see what your thoughts here, Dyson. Or my brain, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying I would definitely agree with the entrance. Didn't underestimate in the ring. You knew when those two going into it, they were going to give us a good match. Good way to kick off night one. Good way to get the blood going and say, okay, if this is what WrestleMania is going to be like, we're going to be all right. And I believe the right person won. That's all I'm going to say. I think the right woman won that match. So might say Becky with her book deal. I think her ring gear had like pages of her book in it. So I was like, oh, she pushing this even with her intro. But I was so happy that Mommy kept the belt, especially because of what we got on night two.
Yes, to be continued. I agree. What do you think, Dyson, from your perspective, what did you think of the in-ring work?
Personally, I thought the in-ring work between Rhea and Becky was just absolutely phenomenal. I thought for the opener of night one, they absolutely killed it. If that tag team match wasn't the main event, I felt like they should have had that spot, you know? They definitely proved it in the ring, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, Mike didn't actually get to watch Night 1 live, but he did catch it later on. What did you think about this match for Night 1's opener, Mike?
WrestleMania ended up turning into the Super Bowl. We had a lot of finger foods on Sunday, and it worked perfectly. But there was criticism the last couple of weeks about, you know, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso not opening up Night 1. And I have to say, after watching Rhea and Becky, they were the right duo to open up WrestleMania. They did a phenomenal job, especially with Becky being under the weather. Her ring gear, Rhea's entrance, and I didn't expect Rhea to win. I thought they were going to give Becky the nod because of how much she's done to elevate talents like Zoe Stark and Tiffany Stratton and Lyra Valkyria. But and Mommy's probably going to be on top for a long, long time, whether you like it or you don't.
I like it. Four sides of the ring. What do we feel, Chano?
So I have an honest confession. I did not know WrestleMania was literally starting at 7 o'clock in the evening. I thought it was starting at like 8. And then my co-host, Zombie King Ant, he was like, When did Rhea's hair get long? I was like, fudge. So I started about 10 minutes late. But my biggest thing with wrestling is, my biggest beef with wrestling is, Brandon tells me all the time, stop being a cynic. I want matches to be less predictable. I want to be able to watch a match and think it's a 50-50 either way, even if it's not, you know what I mean? I walked into this match thinking that Rhea was going to win. But for a couple moments there, Becky made me believe that she could have won that match. And that's honestly all that I could really ask for from wrestling. You know what I mean? Just to not make it so predictable. And Becky and Rhea definitely did a great job doing that. For a couple minutes, I thought Becky had it, but Rhea pulled out the win. Me personally, I think it was the right call. Who dethrones Rhea? I have no idea. But obviously it's not happening no time soon. Maybe it's Liv. Maybe I'm delusional. Who knows?
Who knows? How about you, Brandy? What do you think? We'll wrap it up, and then I'll start with you guys on the next match.
Man, the match was spectacular in itself, but, like, one thing I'm real jealous of Brandon, Hugh, Mike, you guys got to see that entrance in person, man.
Ooh, yes.
Like, that
was fire,
that,
man.
It's one of those, like, you can hear on TV, like, damn, this is one of those once-in-a-lifetime entrances in person, for sure.
I'm not even lying. I was headbanging like a true metal head would, bro. I was doing a foot stomp. I was look at my eyes.
Did you see her coming down the ramp? She was singing it the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, I was.
She looks so cool, dude.
From outside, we saw her turn her back to us, and when we went to go watch her back, you could see what she was doing. She was singing it. I was like, that's a callback to what she wanted in Mania last year. Remember when she was singing it? I was like, she loved that song.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting stage side, like on the upper level, and getting to see that entrance live was crazy. That was my first WrestleMania.
Damn, hey.
I love it, fellas. I love it. Now I'm gonna pivot right into the women because I think this match was a very impactful match, and I'm sure you guys can speak on it in your own. We had, for the first time ever, really, in WrestleMania history, we had three black women tag team together at WrestleMania. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill took on Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, the Kabuki Warriors. And I'm going to pivot this here to my fellas here, because I'm white and I can't speak on the impact that this has for the community. So you guys tell me, how impactful is this for little girls to look up at these three women and say, look, there's three women that look like me on WrestleMania and they're doing the thing. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Black girl magic, man. You got to love it. You got to love it. Representation is real for sure. And I'm pretty sure we'll get into that a little bit later on. But yeah, it was great to see, like you said, three of the top women stars as African Americans in the ring together, not fighting each other, you know, as a cohesive unit, just handling business. They came out there, they delivered, the interest was strong, the performance was great, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of little girls of every race out there going crazy for them right now. I loved it, for sure, yeah.
Absolutely. I second that. Like, representation is huge, no matter, you know, what business or industry it is. And it was amazing for me to see three powerful, you know, women in Bianca, Naomi, and Jade, you know, get that opportunity to team together on that big of a stage and showcase what their, you know, what their skill set is and what they're able to do. I feel like the sky's the limit for all three of them, and they're going to make so many more moments like that, and so many kids and grown adults are going to be able to look at them and say, like, if they could do it, I could do it, you know? So.
I love to. Now, I agree with you. The only thing, my only critique would be the match was a little too short. You know what I mean?
Yes, I was going to say the same thing.
I feel like Trinity took most of the bumps. You know what I mean? And then it was time to clean up. Bianca tagged in, cleaned up, and they made. So I have a thing I call extreme babyface wrestler Power Rangers. And they made Jade Cargo look every much like a Power Ranger that she is, because not only is she built like a Greek goddess, you know what I mean? She's explosive, she's fast, she's strong. Honestly, like, if I didn't know wrestling was like the end result was scripted, I would have thought, oh my, yeah, she definitely handled all three of them like swimmingly, with no issues. But it's, listen, like you say, reputation does matter. Talking about representation, a jump forward, like the seeing Damian Priest, what he did on night two meant so much to me, Brandy, Brandon's brother Jacob, you know what I mean? It's dope. So things like that matter. And we don't think it matters growing up because we don't really notice things like that when you're a child.
Right.
But just to see somebody who looks like you, you know what I mean? That's amazing, man. So listen, hopefully wrestling in general has been on the up and up, being more diverse. You know what I mean? It's not how it was in the 80s, even in the late 90s, you know what I mean? Wrestling is on the up and up. We're getting more black wrestlers, more black superstars, in all promotions, and it's great to see. Obviously, you're gonna have the Samoans, because let's face it, wrestling is in their blood. Yeah, thank you, Michael. I see you, boy, shining.
Even if they're at half mast today, we're still throwing another one.
This guy is half mast. No, I love to hear that perspective, and to piggyback off what Chano says, you know, Damian Priest, the first Puerto Rican champion since Pedro Morales. That's crazy.
History.
Now,
right?
now it's up for the Italians. I need the Don to do something for me. I can feel special in my own way. But look, I love to hear that. You know, yes, I agree. Match was a little short for my taking. For this next match, Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Right winners, wrong winners. Started.
It was
off
just over. It was so overbooked. That match. It was so many people. When other people came in at ring gear, I said, oh, we about to get a serious. And who's on the card? Get everybody in the card. And it delivered in a way that, you know, of course, it was the fun match. We always got to have that fun match. And then insert the local heroes, as in, you know, the football guys.
My man, so Jason, it was LC and Lane Johnson. Yes, yes, yes. Go Birds.
So it was cool. Me personally, I want more for Andrade. But for that Mania moment, it was perfect. It was a good way to insert them, get them into the back into the mainstream. And I wanted to say the match was a ton of fun. Anytime you have, this is what Rey Mysterio should be booked at. We've seen his greatest hits, right? Now we're seeing him enjoying himself. He doesn't need to fight for a title. He just needs to entertain us because we've seen it. If you want to see his world title runs, his WWE run, everything that he's done, cruiserweight, everything, he is, quote unquote, the GOAT, right? So to see him in this aspect and still perform, and you can tell he's enjoying it, it was just sheer joy. I enjoyed that match. I was like, this is perfect. This is what it needs to be. You know, granted, everybody got their little moment to shine. Everybody got a spot, and that's what you needed. You needed that to break up the, not necessarily the seriousness of WrestleMania, but the bam, 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 bam. It was like, oh, that was fun. Oh, that was fun. Oh, that was like, oh, that was good. So I thoroughly enjoyed that match.
Anybody, everybody pretty much similar. Anybody have any strong opinions regarding this match?
I thought that that Dom and Santos should have won, personally. I thought that Dom should have got his Mania moment over his dad. But
never. Gotta keep getting booed. Let him keep getting booed.
That's just my controversial take, though.
Is it controversial if I agree with you? You know, look, first off, you know what I mean? Ray, you are this man's father. Put him over at WrestleMania, goddammit.
He did. He got him on a card. Right. He got him in his company.
No.
He got him a tag team run. He got him in North America. He's done. He has.
No, I don't want to hear that either. I want to see Dom hit Ray with the Three Amigos, Frog Splash, pin him, and Dom victorious over WrestleMania. It's not controversial.
Be his retirement match. Yeah, that's going to be his retirement. You got to save it for that.
You know what? And I want Ray to take all the bumps. I want Ray to take 90% of bumps.
Squash match.
Just squash match.
You want to kill Ray Ray?
What's going on?
Just a little.
He's got stem cells in his knees. You gotta give him a
playoff.
Hold on.
All these things get back together. Come on, now. You can't kill Ray Ray. He stopped doing the West Coast pop and just stopped falling on people because he's broken. Don't kill Ray Ray. We like him.
Here was why I was a little upset. Was like, well, one, Dom and Santos lost. If you're going to do Ray and Dom in the trilogy next year, they needed to go 1-1. But also, you have Carlito you just signed in the past year. He's on the sidelines watching this match. You have Dragon Lee that you take out with the knee injury or whatever the night before. Like, you could have easily had a six-man tag where you showcase all of these guys, even add Berto and Angel or Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro, and do a 5-on-5, like a 10-man tag match to, like, showcase everybody. Like, They could have done it in a different way. They didn't need to do a traditional 2-on-2 tag match.
They could have done a Survivor Series match.
So I do have something on that point. So my thinking is, my train of thought is, JD's gonna kick Dom out soon, right? Because he kind of set tripping with LWO. Dom is gonna get a brand new faction. It's gonna be called DWR. Dom is right. And basically, all these Hispanics are going to be like, oh my God, Ray doesn't care about any of us. Because first it was Santos.
Right.
And then, you know, Carlito was the one that made Santos feel that type of way. But Santos is going to be like, oh my God, Santos, I'm so sorry. I made you feel that way. I didn't mean for that to happen. You know what? Dom was right. So we get an upgraded version of the LWO. Because let's face it, they're terrible.
My guy wants to kill Rey Mysterio and kill Mike from laughter.
I'm crying, bro. Because the merch prints itself.
Could you imagine Dom was right on a hoodie? Oh, I'd buy it immediately.
Yes.
Just fly top seller from the shop. Take some notes here. We got your merch ideas for you. Speaking of... Some family drama, all right? We got the third brother versus brother match. We're not counting Kane and Undertaker. Get that out of your heads. We got Jey Uso taking on his brother, Jimmy Uso, in the Yeet versus Yeet battle that a lot of people felt underwhelmed by. And I haven't had a chance to watch it back, you know, since traveling. But in person, I enjoyed the match. It was a fun little match. Yeah, there were some super kick fest, but overall, this is what I expected between Uso and Uso. Anybody got some passionate thoughts about this match before?
I mean, going into the match, you kind of knew what to expect, and then people were still underwhelmed. I think that speaks for itself right there.
You eat those false notions.
I did not like the stuff I was seeing on wrestling Twitter, which I shouldn't even bring up, honestly, because Twitter is Twitter. But just seeing right. the amount of hate that they were getting on the match, calling it like the worst WrestleMania match of all time and things like that. And I'm like, I mean, I get it. Like, you know, it was a little super kick heavy, but that's part of their repertoire. And they both know each other so well. So why hate on it? Like Brandy said, like, that's kind of expected. You know what I'm saying? Like, that they're going to do that. That was my thought on that.
I feel that, though.
But the crazy part is, yeah, you know, I'm about to lay that.
I know you're ready.
A year ago when they started to, because remember for a while, you couldn't tell who was Jimmy or Jay.
Yeah.
And they started giving them their own identities, but they never gave them a moveset differently. Yeah. When you look at the Usos, they do the same exact moves. What did we expect? We were all, the Triple H dust has been so great that we got with the Razzle Dazzle thinking it's going to be something different. When you have the same character, it's like if you pick Raiden in Mortal Kombat, they're going to do the same moves the whole time. You're going to say, oh, yeah, you know, whatever you're going to say, if you pick Ryu the same time. So the crazy part is they separated them, gave them two different personalities, but they got the same moveset. Now, I would have much rather seen a thing like, since we're so common with heavy wrestling now, where they would just cancel each other out. I super kick you, I shake it off. I super kick you, I shake it off. Samoan drop, I shake it off. You can't hurt me. What you got to do differently? Then that's how they could have started a different moveset, and that would have been the real difference in the two of them. But that match, I agree with a lot of the critics. It was horrible to the standard that we know that the Usos can give us, but the Usos have given us great tag team matches. Jey Uso is only giving us great matches because he's on Raw, and Jimmy's only giving us funny matches because he's on SmackDown. So we're seeing the same thing, just on different nights now.
I will say this, Dyson. You can correct me. I think Jey is more fluid as a singles wrestler. I feel like we gotten so used to seeing Jimmy in a tag team setting where he can be a supporting act, and you can't really tell because he's that good at his job as a tag team wrestler. That in a solos act, he's kind of, I don't want to say not great, but like he's kind of like average. You know what I mean? Like, do we think Jimmy
had those chances? Jey had more of those times to shine on his own.
Yes, no. I agree with you. I agree with you. Jey has had more apples to shine on the main roster singles, and Jimmy hasn't. But you would think for somebody who's been in the industry for as long as they were, that Jimmy would be a little more fluid. As far as the worst WrestleMania match of all time, I doubt that. We have had some dog matches on WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
WrestleMania, 40 years of WrestleMania,
but we can find one. I'm pretty sure Undertaker versus Floyd Wake. Yeah, Undertaker versus Mayweather was not Undertaker. Big Show versus Mayweather was terrible. You know what I mean?
I mean, like I said, who did Snooki fight at WrestleMania? I can't even remember.
Who even remembers? Like, but when I say the worst match, in a WrestleMania 40 caliber, in this caliber of matches that we're getting now, it was the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this, like, out of all of the card, that's the match everybody's going to skip past. Because it's like, no, we expected one thing.
I don't know. Because when you look at night one, you still have three matches that really, I think, stole the show here. I'm gonna hit you guys the ladder match. I was right. I think we were all right. I think we all predicted
we wanted it so bad.
To win the SmackDown tag titles. I mean, awesome.
Here we go.
And R-Truth to have his moment at WrestleMania, because I was going nuts. You know, I don't know if you guys saw my video I posted on TikTok, but I prayed for that. I prayed for R-Truth to have his WrestleMania moment, and he got it. Unlike someone else who prayed for CM Punk's demise and karma came back and bit him in the ass. I love R-Truth. R-Truth, shout out to you, my man. He follows me on Twitter. That was the best Twitter follow I could have ever gotten in my life. I love the guy. One of my favorites. Had me in stitches all weekend. Had me, my abs hurt from laughing
hilarious,
so hard.
Hilarious.
When he did the pinfall and they won the match, you know. And then on Monday Night Raw with him popping up in the Judgment Day's shot. It was hysterical. Guys, this ladder match, great match, right? Like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, right winners. Do we all agree? Right winners. Everything made sense.
Yeah. Right winners. 100%.
Out. I will say I'm probably one of the only few people that's an active Austin Theory fan, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Oh,
I'm another one. I'm here with you.
Town
now. Not, th- right here not with you. Theory's my guy, man. Everything about Theory screams charismatic. He can't connect with the crowd. I don't know what it is, but the guy's just so goddamn good in the ring, man.
Yep.
Really, so it's just like,
it really is.
I couldn't agree more.
So it's like, I'm happy that he got this moment. Think about it. WrestleMania 39, he suffered the curse of John Cena. That's what it is now. It's a curse. If you beat John Cena, you're cursed. That's just your fate.
Man. And then,
unless you're Roman. You know what I mean? But you know what it was? I think after that point, like, Cena just came back from after Roman and started, like, losing to everybody immediately. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, this isn't healthy at all.
When's the last time Cena won a singles match? Like,
he said it. He said it in December when he had that tag match with him.
Yeah, it was like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
he said it's been a while.
So with that being said, Mike, any last thoughts here before you head out? I know it's late. I know you got to get your show going tomorrow morning. Any thoughts here on WrestleMania as a whole? And I'll let you skedaddle out of here early.
I appreciate being on Mouth Off with Mike and appreciate collabing with all you guys. You know, listen, Four Sides of the Ring, Dice, I don't want to look at your stuff as well. I want to start learning about some of those championships behind our guys right there. So I think WrestleMania 40 was it was phenomenal. Like, and I'm a Roman guy, you know it, but you couldn't help but watch WrestleMania and realize you were watching history. You were watching a real moment that will live forever, and it was a real launch to a new era. And it's not one of these like things where Vince McMahon and his family came up and they were trying to create a new era in WWE, and they drafted like people from NXT to WWE's Raw and SmackDown, and nothing changed. Like, this really felt like a new era, whether you want to call it the Triple H or the Renaissance, what have you. But this WrestleMania was special. I don't know if it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time, but I think in 10 years we'll look back at it as the most memorable WrestleMania of all time.
I agree. And speaking of moments here, ladies and gentlemen, while Mike heads out here, you know, a lot of people were not too happy with the decision of this match. Gunther has finally been dethroned by Sami Zayn. Right winner, wrong winner. Dyson's shaking his head, so we're starting with Dyson on this one.
Oh, man, if you could have been sitting next to me in the stands when that 1-2-3 hit, I was one angry, you know, fan, because after all that we went through, seeing, like, amazing match after amazing match with Gunther, and yes, he had an amazing match with Sami Zayn, but I couldn't get with the fact that it was Sammy who dethroned him through everyone that Gunther had beat. And I felt like, in a way, Sami Zayn had kind of stolen Chad Gable's moment, if I'm being completely honest. You know, I thought that moment definitely should have been Chad's. You know, even if it meant like, okay, let's get Gunther to next year's WrestleMania, or to heck, even SummerSlam, you know, I would have been fine with, you know, to get him to face Chad. But I don't know. I don't think that the right decision was made to have Sammy dethrone him, personally.
Okay. Four Sides of the Ring. Thoughts?
I guess. I mean, personally, to me, Sammy's the right call. I like Sammy. I think he's had an amazing year. This whole Rocky story he's been running with the whole Triple H title, it made sense for him. Like, I get what you're saying, because when you got names like Sheamus and Drew on that list, it's like, Sammy's the guy that did it. But the way Sammy was propelled this year, it felt right. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just so happy for Sammy, to be honest. Like, he was my favorite one of my favorite intercontinental champions over the last 4 years. And so to see it back on him, I like that.
I agree with Brandy. Like, to me, I think Sammy was the good call, because once Sammy got that tribal chief rub, you know what I mean? Like, last year at the Elimination Chamber, if Sammy would have taken the strap off of Roman at EC, I would have been okay with it, because Sammy was white hot. You know what I mean? Sammy was electric. Sammy took down the Usos. So to take down Gunther, and like, Gunther did it to himself. Like, Gunther was so overconfident in himself that he didn't think it was possible, that he let it happen to himself. So I thought it was great in ring. I thought it was a great in ring story about how too much confidence in yourself can be a downfall. And I thought it was a great moment. And obviously, guys, like, we know Gunther isn't mid card for the rest of his career. He made that Intercontinental title feel like a world championship. He made it feel like that third world championship. And now he gets to actually compete for that third world championship. My personal opinion, I think he wins the strap at Bash at Berlin. Yep. I think that's why he was trying to get his visa right and didn't go to all these international PLEs because he was trying to get it right for Berlin. Because what's a bigger story than Gunther winning the world title in Germany? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Right.
Bro, that's electric. So it's like, I think it was a good time. I like Chad Gable. I like Chad Gable a lot, but I don't think Chad was the right story for Gunther, because we know WWE booking. We know how this is going to go. Chad is going to be booked super strong for a little while. Then eventually he's not. And then he's going to lose a string of matches. And we're going to be like, this is the guy that beat Gunther at WrestleMania or SummerSlam for the Intercontinental title. You know what I mean? Sammy has proven to be a little more a safer option. Like, Sammy's still going to drop matches, but he's going to drop matches against guys that he should be dropping matches to. Chad, my friend with Chad, he's just going to be dropping matches to everybody eventually.
Okay.
Right. I can definitely see that point. I could agree with that point.
Okay. Championship.
I feel I'm split on it because we've seen Sammy as an Intercontinental champion. Was this a missed opportunity to give somebody else that Mania moment? He had his Mania moment last year. He main evented and won a title in Mania, which he said was probably the biggest win for him. You know what I mean? Like, I would have much rather seen Sammy from tag team champion to world champion for status, because he's proven that he can get into that space that he can be that. Well, let me back up. Triple H has built so many stars that anytime he can rotate them into any storyline, and then in a literally one show, we can care about that person. And I've been on record of saying, if anybody was going to dethrone Luther, it should have been my guy Ilyanov. But the second person could have been Chad, because that story was so good. And it was like we were vested in it as fans. And to see it get passed to somebody else, we kind of felt like, all right, the whole Batista thing and Daniel Bryan, like, we're going to go with Batista, but we wanted him. But because it was Sammy, it's like, okay, yeah, we okay with Sammy. And I'm telling you, watching it and seeing a 1-2-3, he was like, I was like, oh, he really did it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was shocked. I was like, oh, he really, that just happened. Like, I didn't know whether to cheer or be like, that's what we went with. And I like El Generico. That tells you something right there. I love El Generico. You know, I was, if you go back to the NXT days, my favorite match with him is him and Shinsuke. Back at NXT, the 27-star match that they had. So to still speak bad about him, and I'm not speaking bad, I'm just saying, I feel like that was a missed moment for somebody else in order to put it on a safe bet, because, like y'all said, Sammy could lose every match between now and SummerSlam, then at SummerSlam the crowd still be cheering for him to go over. He could win every match from here to SummerSlam, and they're still gonna be like, okay, Sammy, we're still going to cheer. We're not going to boo him yet until he do something heelish. But he's not going to do that because people love him. Now you got his family involved. You got everything going. You know, he's got a whole story now.
I'm not a fan of the whole underdog storyline, but I get it. It was a safe move because who else was left for Gunther? He beat everybody for the most part. Who was a viable opponent that could actually take it off of him besides Sami Zayn?
Ilyanov.
They could have done Andrade. They could have done Andrade if they really wanted to.
Andrade's
a good one.
There's definitely some names there.
That's definitely a good one. That's another thing too.
But I will say if we talk about Sami Zayn being a heel, I'm gonna be honest, guys. I haven't forgiven Sami Zayn for walking into MSG and bringing in Trae Young. I have not forgiven him. I probably never will. So. Brandon, I know you're not a big
sports. Don't worry about it.
I know you're not a big sports guy. So my Knicks lost in the first round to the Hawks. And Trae Young's the point guard, sole point guard of the Hawks. And there was an MSG, and Sami Zayn brought out the point guard from the Hawks out to the Garden. The Garden is the Mecca. It is holy land.
You put
the sign on the cross when you walk inside the Garden. All right, it's a holy place. So for that to happen, I was devastated.
It was still one of the best heel heat moments. So look, we're on the last match of night one, and we'll see if everybody can join me for night two here. But if not, it's okay. The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, billed as the biggest tag team match in WrestleMania history. For me, I've got two words for you. Too long. I'm going to let you guys have at it.
I agree 100%. It was a Roman era. A friend of the channel, Dennis Cake, said it. He said, "Are you prepared for the longest drawn out match of history?" I don't know why that wrestling style didn't work for me because it was 40. I didn't realize it was 47 minutes. I thought it was like an hour. But, you know, I'm going to slap you. Let me taunt some. Just get over the match. After the first 5 minutes of that, it ain't got to be a half an hour of this. And I get it. You know, the little guys trying to beat up the big guys and all that stuff. But it was the entrances lasted for, what, 20 minutes in itself before we even got to the match. And then the match, was it the greatest match? People talking about, oh, the greatest match at night one. I've seen better matches, but because of the star power in it, that's where the illusion and smoke and mirrors, see what I did there? The smoke and mirrors came from that people are saying it's the greatest. And I'm not taking away from The Rock. I'm not taking away from Roman. Not taking away from Seth or Cody. It's just, when you have that much talent, I expected to be blown away. I was just like, oh, that was nice. We knew it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's typical.
I want to know if my fault. You can go, Dyson. My fault.
My mic just cut off. I don't know why. I think, oh, that was weird.
Nah, so if you notice, The Rock didn't do any throw move, like any real grapple outside of a spine buster. It was all strikes. He did all strikes.
Right.
Which is, and I didn't notice it because I was just so enamored in the fact that it's Rocky. It's Rock. You know what I mean? It's The Rock. I was like, let's go, Rock. And obviously, as an adult, I love the heels more than I love the faces. So I was just happy Seth and Cody were getting their ass beat. But you know what I mean? So like my brother-in-law, he told me, he was like, yo, The Rock didn't do a single grapple move outside of that spine bust. I was like, oh my God, you're right. He didn't do anything.
And now I have to go back and watch it. I didn't realize that.
I have to see that, yeah. I haven't had a chance to do that. Go ahead. Bro, what were your thoughts?
I mean, I agree with you in that I thought it was really long. I felt like there was a lot going on at one time. And, I mean, you know, we were watching it live, so there was kind of like a lot to try and keep up with at the same time, you know, especially when they went into the crowd and stuff. But it was, I don't know, like, as far as, like, the in-match quality, it wasn't, you know, bad or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? But it definitely kind of was dragging quite a bit. That I can definitely say I felt
the slow and methodical for the entire match, you know.
But
when we
I will say that I was happy that The Rock beat Cody, though. I did like that as well.
Because the moment Cody got pinned on night one, I was like, oh my God. I was like, my tribal chief. I was like, my Polynesian. My Polynesian prince. No. Oh my no. God. Oh my
God. That's long-term storytelling right there. That's what that is. That's long-term
that's
storytelling.
That's the long haul.
That's you know why?
That payoff in 2026.
You know why? You know why? Because the moment Cody did that same pose he did from WrestleMania 39, he was all sad looking at the ramp. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, he's not losing twice in a weekend, is he, guys? I was like, this sucks.
And honestly, I appreciate those camera shots. Shout out to the dude they hired from Marvel with the production side of things, because he's giving us those Marvel background, foreground shots. I'm eating them up, dude. And speaking of night two here, we're going to run through this real quick, because really on night two, the biggest thing that we want to discuss is the World Heavyweight Championship, Cody Rhodes, you know, and the women's match. So I'm going to roll through these here real quick. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits left me wanting more. Thumbs up. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
It's good.
I'll give you midway.
Give me a middle. Okay, respect. I sense 50.
It served its purpose.
It did. It was like the, what you call a match from night one.
I thought that was going to be the worst match of WrestleMania 40. That was my designated bathroom match.
Yeah.
I'm a cross guy. I love me some Karrion Kross. So
yeah, man.
Oh, you're the only one.
No.
That's a New York Puerto Rican right there.
Listen. Because, like I said, Karrion Kross is a New Yorker and he's Puerto Rican, so he automatically gets my support. But
oh, good job. We got two supporters.
But the dude is boring.
Well, he's back in NXT, so let's see if they can recapture some of that vibe that
right,
we had back in the NXT days. We've got the merchant of the L.A. Knight taking on AJ Styles.
Poopy boy.
I like this match. I thought this was one of AJ Styles' best matches. I also thought it was LA Knight's best match up to this point. Do we agree, disagree?
I agree with that. I can give you that.
I didn't watch it.
So,
yeah, you didn't.
So
like,
me
and, the first night's table at that time.
Yeah, so me and Brandon. Yeah, so me and Brandon, we are known LA Knight haters.
Big time.
There's nothing LA Knight does for me that makes me go, he's a good wrestler. Or he's just, he belongs to be here. To me, I don't see the hype. I don't see any of it. So I want to say shout out to AJ Styles for carrying that boy to a decent match. I don't know if you guys play 2K, but AJ Styles put LA Knight inside his backpack and he carried him for the whole entire night.
Well, we have a wrestler. Do you feel that AJ carried the match, Dyson?
I personally don't. The beauty in what LA Knight does is that he's a minimalist and that he can get a lot out of doing very little. And that's the one thing that I love about him. And I thought that they absolutely killed it. I was going to say that I thought the match was kind of short, but like maybe it was just that I was just enjoying it that much that it felt like it went by so quick. But I really enjoyed the finish, the trip up on the phenomenal forearm right into the BFT. I thought that was so smooth. But yeah, I don't personally think that LA Knight was carried by AJ. I thought they both held their own and did their part and gave us one hell of a WrestleMania match.
I agree. Any closing remarks here on the LA Knight AJ Styles match before we move on to the United States Triple Threat Championship
AJ's,
match, which saw. Oh, go ahead.
AJ's music, it has to grow on me. It has to grow on me.
It didn't hit in the middle.
his old theme, bro. They don't want none. That was way better.
That was perfect. Yeah.
Perfect, bro. And if you're not going to give me Wicked Ways back, bro, don't give me this mid-ass Def Rebel bullshit. First of all, Def Rebel. Yeah.
What you say? Add that metal. More metal.
Triple H needs metal and everything.
I'm sorry, man.
We do have to acknowledge the rare Def Rebel W, though, that was Damian Priest's new theme song. Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you that. Bailey also did get a new theme song that I didn't hate as well. It was a little bit, but I didn't hate it.
Wasn't she supposed to get Paramore?
That's what I was hoping for.
They were in Europe. I don't know why there was no private jet sent out to get Hayley Williams, because really, that's all you needed.
That's all you need.
I want to know a little Misery Business. You know what I'm saying? Like, that song would have been perfect for that whole feud, but I digress. Yeah. Logan Paul retained his championship against two certified legends in the game, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I thought this was the right decision because I think Logan Paul's dropping that title in Cleveland and SummerSlam. To who? I don't know. How do you guys feel about this one?
I thought he was dropping the strap. I thought he was going to drop the strap to Kevin Owens, and we was going to get the WrestleMania 20 moment with Eddie and who shall not be named.
Nah, I really thought, it was either going to be that, but like when it ended, I was kind of happy that Kevin Owens did a win, because then it would have been like literally all of Triple H's guys since like the beginning of NXT. And it would have felt like a little too much, which like Logan, as soon as Logan hit the deck after he won and like touched the prime thing, I was like, oh, he paid for this victory. I forgot.
Yeah.
I will say
though, SummerSlam is kind of far. You know what I mean? SummerSlam is like
four... much. You know, you make one appearance a month. If he even...
No, but he's still going to do the PLEs. Like, bro, that's a... He has been showing up more often, which I do appreciate, but SummerSlam is kind of long, bro. It's kind of far away. It's four PLEs away.
Maybe Backlash, then. Maybe Backlash. Maybe Clash.
Nah, I can't see him dropping before them actually going to Ohio. They're going to give us the most Cleveland match of all time. It's going to be The Miz versus Logan Paul.
I was going to hit me with the most Cleveland match of all time. Make it a fucking triple threat. Get Johnny Gargano in that match.
That's so gross.
while we're on the subject of Clevelanders, let's get Vic Joseph on commentary. Let's just get everything. All day, every day at that point. You know what I'm saying?
You already know LeBron. You already know LeBron's going to be there watching it, right? They're going to pander to LeBron to come.
Yeah, let's go. He's a prime athlete starting soon, I bet.
I'm not going to lie. Could you imagine LeBron interfering and hitting Logan Paul with a spear?
I'm in.
It'll be a clothesline. It would be a clothesline.
I'm sorry. I'm settling for a spear and nothing else.
LeBron James, we need you.
Me personally, I had Logan winning anyway because, you know, just for promotional purposes, just to keep eyes on that title, keep it relevant. And social media superstar. Come on, man. He does things outside of the ring that nobody else can do. That's right. So, hey, keep it on him until Cleveland. It's hometown. Keep it relevant.
I will say it. I do agree because honestly nobody cared about that U.S. title for a while. Now we actually want him to lose the strap, so he's doing his job as a heel. So who knows?
The number one thing I can say about Logan Paul is like you don't like him already. He has natural heel heat on him, so it works perfectly. Like I truly believe Logan will be a top five heel in the business in a few years, and I hate to say it because I don't like the guy personally, but I have to show respect for respect. The guy's 28 years old. He's got a multi-billion-dollar energy drink company. He's got a most popular podcast, a YouTube channel. He's a pro wrestler, and he's a champion all in all. So much love and respect. And please, for the sake of the resale market, don't go out there and buy those WrestleMania Prime bottles for $80, please. It ain't worth it. Don't do it. I've seen it on eBay. Don't do it, please. I beg of you. I did not get one. Me and Haley, my girlfriend, we stayed in the seats until like the mass transit of people moved so we could get our picks and everything. I was not running to go get a bottle of energy drink. But the homies were trying to sell it to me on the street for $80, and then we had them for fucking like $100. I was like, forget all this nonsense.
It's crazy.
We got three matches. I'm gonna speed run them, but we definitely want to talk a little bit more in detail about Roman and Cody, of course. But women's championship, Io Sky and Bayley. For me, was a fantastic match. I loved it. Bayley gets her WrestleMania win. I'm leaving it up to the panel here. Thoughts?
Well, Bayley and Io gave us because the entrance. First off, everybody was confused on Bayley's entrance, and then Io, everybody was like, "Oh, she's here." It was so sad, but they turned it into you could actually care about the match. They showed that you know sometimes the wrestler will speak for itself, and the way that they wrestled, and I'm just telling you, I think that they missed the boat on EO with this women's championship reign. I hope she can bounce back from it, but I'm so happy that Bayley won the Rumble, won the title, and now she can, only thing that she doesn't have on her notch, well, she can't even get it anymore. So she's got everything. She can't even get it anymore. She can't get the NXT UK Women's Champion. That's the only thing Rhea would have over her if they were able to do comparison between them two. Bayley is definitely the woman that has done it all.
So I will say, I do agree with Brandon. They did drop the ball with EO, but to me, they dropped the ball with EO all the way back. The only good EO match I can think of off the top of my head is EO and Bianca at Backlash in Puerto Rico, where EO became an honorary Puerto Rican. You know what I mean? So other than that, like I haven't every EO match that I've seen, it has not really been really enjoyable. I think it was due to don't get me wrong, like I love the Bloodline and Roman, obviously, acknowledge my tribal chief. But with Damage Control getting involved in the way they got involved, it kind of made it seem like Io couldn't do none of this at all on her own. You know what I mean? So just going into that WrestleMania with her and Bayley, I thought it was a good match. I think it's the type of match that I probably wouldn't go back to watch on my own. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't rewatch that match. I'd probably skip over it. To me, it wasn't really anything really great. I think it was a few good spots where, like, you know, she tried to hit her and then EO flipped, and I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But to me, it was a good match. It wasn't a WrestleMania good match. It was just a good match. And there's no need to, like, for me at least, to revisit it.
I mean, to be fair, though, it's like, it is right before the Roman match. So it's like, it's like you're sitting there, like, they're more in my hand. I might as well just skip this and go to Roman.
it was all about the moment, anyway.
It's the Cody match.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that this year's WrestleMania had more than 39 and 38 combined was the moment. And here's a moment in its own here, ladies and gentlemen. Seth frickin' Rollins defended his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. Drew was able to finally get his win in front of fans that has been long sought after. He prayed for it, ladies and gentlemen. He prayed for CM Punk's demise. But guess what? CM Punk prayed back because CM Punk cost Drew McIntyre the World Heavyweight Championship after 5 minutes of holding it. And LOL, he was bored at work, Drew McIntyre. Fellas, this was an electric moment for me. You spoke on an earlier channel, Brandy, you know, having a Puerto Rican champion, first time since Pedro Morales. How did we feel in the moment?
It was
jumping up and down, hugging each other.
Hell yeah.
I was screaming out wet, but like my life depended on it.
Fucking Brandon pulled out a Puerto Rican flag from his back pocket. Section 107 was crazy. Now let me stop. Nah, honestly, man, it's one of those things, like we said, representation obviously matters, right? Like, for a while, we had a whole bunch of honorary Puerto Ricans. Like, I used to tell Brandon and the rest of the guys on four sides of the ring that Roman was going to be the closest thing we got to a Puerto Rican world champion. You know what I mean? Just because he's an Islander. And then, you know, we settled on Io Sky being honorary Puerto Rican because we loved her at Backlash. You know what I mean? Because in my mind, we was never going to get a Puerto Rican world champion of our own. You know what I mean? I never saw it coming. So then when Priest had won the Money in the Bank, I was like, oh, there's no way it's successful. And then he held it for too long. I'm like, oh, there's no way it could be successful. So then it finally was successful, and I'm so happy about it. And I was like, I'm so happy about it. Excuse me. That, you know, obviously I'm a Cody hater, so I don't acknowledge Cody's championship reign at all. To me, WWE only has one world champion, and his name is Damian Priest.
Cody's half Puerto Rican, bro. He's Cuban.
Listen. If Cody was half Puerto Rican, this would be a different conversation. It'd be a way different story. Not at all. I have the American Nightmare tattoo on my neck.
The Puerto Rican Nightmare.
No, but like, you know what I mean. So it's like, I'm happy for Damian Priest. Obviously, I think we can all agree that his reign is only going to be about like 3 months or so, 3 to 6 months.
Doesn't matter though.
Yep. But it doesn't matter because it's great, bro. It's great to see. But we got Damian Priest going to Yankee games, chopping it up with Aaron Judge. And I'm not even a Yankees fan, and I love that for him. You know what I mean?
I love it. As a Yankee fan, I was ecstatic to see that.
Yeah. Mike, what are you? How are you a Phillies fan? How are you a Philly Eagles fan and a Yankee fan? None of this makes sense.
I'm a Knicks guy too.
Listen, as long as it's orange and blue skies. Orange and blue skies.
Always, bro. Always. But yeah, championship culture. Any thoughts here on the? I'm losing my train of thought. My man got me all huffed up here with Damian. Yes, sir.
Well, I was all in for him winning the Money in the Bank, but for the longest time, I wasn't convinced that he would be a top notch player. As far as like, I didn't think he was going to be able to be successfully cash in, because I didn't think the crowd would adapt to him that way. But that all changed when his music hit. And I heard that crowd. I was like, oh, that's surprising. I didn't think he was going to get that type of pop.
Same.
I became a believer right then and there. I've always respected his work as a talent. You know, ever since he was Punishment Martinez, over in ROH doing his thing. Man, it was fulfilling to see that, like, to hear that pop when he came out and he did what he did. And then to come on the network 2 days later and hear Nick Ram from Four Sides, you know, talk about Puerto Rico. I was like, damn, I didn't even think about that. And I was like, I know how I felt when Kofi Mania went down. You know, I was like, all right, yeah, it makes sense. So I'm happy for him. And hopefully he can get a couple of, you know, title defenses in there and hey, just represent.
Yo, I got a nice little fun fact. When Damian Priest was Punisher Martinez, our co-host, Aunt Junior Flo, the Zombie King, he defeated Punisher Martinez, and he won the tag titles off of him at ECPW. Nice little fun fact.
Okay, I like it.
Shout out to the Zombie, and shout out to the Monster Factory, because I know Coach Danny Cage is ecstatic that one of his guys is a world heavyweight champion here in WWE. Dyson, you're my independent wrestler. You know, what does it mean for a guy like Damian Priest to work the indies, work Ring of Honor, get to WWE, and now finally hold that championship? You can kind of, you know, that's your ultimate end goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like seeing that. I mean, first off, from a fan standpoint, I was just like ecstatic. And then from a wrestler standpoint, it really shows me, like, you know, that's where you belong, kind of thing. Because, you know, I told myself I'm going to go to one WrestleMania as a fan, and the next one I go to, I will be performing in. So I could only, you know, wish and hope to, you know, have that same kind of moment that Damian had. But I'm super happy for him because he deserves every second of that moment. You know, he's worked so hard, and really, I think, in many ways, carried the Judgment Day, you know, promo-wise especially. And, you know, in ring, he's, you know, he's spectacular. So I couldn't be more happy for him.
I love it, man. I love it.
And see, my biggest thing about Damian is me and Hugh, we were beginning ROH fans. And we got to see, like, transitions of ROH. We got to see Punishment Martinez, ROH television title. Then we got to see him get called to NXT. And then we got to see the lows of, you know, the Ephraim Archery and the Damian and the Priest. You know, he literally did everything, being a company guy, just trying to make it, kicking, clawing, scratching, trying to get there. When he wanted the Money in the Bank, I was like, oh, this will be different. And then this whole time, just waiting. And then I was like, oh, he's going to fail cash in. And to see him have that moment right then and there, it was special because you could see it was sheer validation in his face. Everything about it was like, I made it. I did it. This is what I've been working for. This is what I was doing when I was doing those secret vignettes of being a Damien and a Priest. You know, they're like, oh, I got to be bad now. They change my music every other week. All the stuff he's going through, you know, being called, what do they call him? Bisexual Undertaker, all those things, stupid names he had to go through. Yeah, you know.
He leaned into it.
Yeah. Like, all that stuff, I'm like, he endured to get here. Then it was like, instantly, that press conference, he had on that suit, and he was like, yeah, I'm the champion. I was like, oh, this is a different person. Yeah. He's been waiting for this moment.
Yo, my man went to the club. Bro, he went to the club immediately after with that suit and the strap in the VIP section by himself. Just living.
Man's playing.
Shout out to the bisexual Undertaker. That has been the funniest thing for the last couple of weeks. Gigi Dolan called him something that I don't even want to repeat on the show because it is not a good word. I don't know if you guys saw Gigi Dolan's tweet after he won the title, but go look at it. You will piss yourself laughing. The final match here, and I want to thank everybody, Mike Davis, Dyson, Chano, Brandy, Hugh, Brandon, everyone for sticking with me this late on the East Coast. So we're going to fly right through this. We're going to get our thoughts. Cody Rhodes has finally finished that fucking story, and I have been ecstatic. I've been on a high, injected right into my veins right here. Cody Rhodes is the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion, but we must not forget our tribal.
Oh, I saw her tweet. Oh, I saw her tweet.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, that's
good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, you're good. I can't say it on the air because it's too much, but you guys got to look at it. I will post it on the video for people to read, but I'm not saying it. I'm not repeating it. But much love and praise to the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, for that 1,316-day title reign. So ones are up at half mast, as Mike said. But for me, this was a culmination of everything. I was there at 38 when Cody made his triumphant return to WWE. I was there at 39 when Cody lost, and I got clowned by Roman Reigns fans on my way out of the building. I had my little Cody Rhodes neck tattoo and everything, my little stick on. I was clowned relentlessly in L.A. at 39 when I left. But 40, I was able to leave clowning on those Roman Reigns fans that tried to tell me it was not ending. Fellas.
Like those guys from Four Sides of the Ring?
Like those guys from Four Sides of the Ring.
We cried.
We'll start with the Roman Reigns guys, because me and the boys were making jokes in the parking lot at the Link about how if Cody doesn't finish the story, you might see me from the L of the Link, you know, maybe hanging there a little bit. But then they said it's actually their turn. I was there for the rescue mission. Nobody did any sort of hanging. We're all here. We're all mouthing off with Mike. So Four Sides of the Ring, I'm sorry about Roman.
it's so sad. Yeah, it ended. It ended. And the first thing I did, I gave Brandy a hug. that's a bro.
I FaceTimed him. I wanted to make sure he wasn't crying. I said, let me FaceTime him.
But it was. Oh man, honestly, I knew it was coming soon. I still don't think Cody was the right answer. I don't care how many little kids love him. I don't care how many kids he buys tickets for, how many people he's the best man for at their weddings, or people he does not know. Bro, I was sick. When I tell you that car ride home was the most uncomfortable car ride home because we was all just quiet. Like, Like, have you ever been in a position where, like, you at work and your girlfriend breaks up with you and you can't act on it because you still got to finish the rest of your shift?
Yep.
Bro, that's what, bro, that's exactly what it was like. Like, all of us just got dumped and we still got to finish the rest of our shift. Bro, I got home. I got home at like 1:30 in the morning. I woke up my wife and I was like, I just need a hug. I just need a hug. This is rough. This is rough. And it's, bro, it sucks.
I know you guys remember like going into it. We was all talking about Dusty finished this, Dusty finished that.
It definitely was.
When that three count hit at like 10:32, I'm just watching The Rock like, all right, we got mad time.
That's what I was saying. I was like,
yes.
And then every single person that Roman defeated came out to the ring and was lifting up your boy Cody, and I was just like, it's not happening.
I do want to say publicly, I would like to thank Stone Steve Austin for minding his business and staying home. Undertaker and John Cena, we don't want you here no more. Get away. Stay away. You're dead to me. Yeah, I swear to God, I've always been a John Cena guy. Like, even when John Cena had haters and said Cena sucks, I was never one of those guys. But now I wish I was. I wish I was.
Look, I personally love Undertaker showing up because Undertaker lost to Roman at WrestleMania. So there's your tidbit. Also, Dusty signed Taker all the way back in those WCW days. So if you didn't know, now you know. Championship culture. I know Brandon. He was a Cody guy. I don't know. I can't remember. Hugh, were you on the Cody train or are you on?
No, not at all.
No, he was all Roman. I was a bloodline. I was bloodline all day.
He throws up his ones.
My man. I was a bloodline all day, but I understood if he won or, you know, when he won, because I'm like, it's best for business right now. Because the first thing I said when I looked at Brandon was like, oh, dang, he won it. I was like, look, it's a new era, bro. Before anybody else said, I was like, look, he had to get rid of Vince. 100%. Triple H had to get rid of Vince. That was Vince's guy. He kept pushing him on us. And Cody is going to lead us into the next generation. I hate it because I don't care for baby faces like that. But he seems like he's the right trick of the pool right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's on top of the world. Everybody loves him for the most part. In the wrestling industry, everybody loves him. He's out here everywhere. This number one song everywhere. Like, we heard that song like 7,642 times over the weekend, bro. And you heard how many times they played it after he won. Yep. They played it like 15 times back to back to back. Just kept looping it. I was like, bro, it was the right move. That's what people wanted to see. The majority wanted to see.
It was like I was in my own personal hell hearing hearing it so many times back to back, bro. It's like, it's like, there's like, oh, I'm going to do it again. I was in my own personal hell, bro. But listen, do I understand it? I get it. But do I have to like it? Hell no. I'm going to hate it every single chance I get. So from here on out, I now have a bathroom break on every single PLE, which is going to be a Cody, which is going to be the Cody match.
That's crazy.
but here's the reason I say that. They don't have nobody big enough to actually beat Cody.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So Cody's going to have the strap for a little while, so I'm gonna be sick and upset for a little while, but I'm not gonna hold you. Do you guys remember that video with the bummers outside? Like, his shoes whack, his fit whack. But me, I'm tight as fuck, and that's the whole thing I was playing in my head when I saw Cody walk out with the strap on Monday Night Raw. I was like, his fit whack.
Wait a minute. I'm not gonna hold you, bro.
Mike, I wish you would have heard me on Monday, bro. Because he's walking out with the belt. Like, the belt don't even look right on him, bro. He's not even big enough to carry that belt.
It don't look right.
I'm like, bro, you know when he was talking to Triple H and he had the belt over his shoulder, but half the belt was folded in? I'm like, he's not a real champion. A real champion would have known, fix that belt on your shoulder to make it look right. But nah, he made the belt look crooked. I was like, this is disgusting.
And then The Rock goes and grabs it and makes it look worse in Cody's hands. Why did The Rock go and do that?
Why did The Rock had to go and do that? Well, there's a whole thing, backstory. Dashing Cody Rhodes.
Years ago.
Similar thing. A lot of callbacks here. Brandon, my man, you're a Cody guy like me. I know Dyson is. We're going to get to Dyson. Last but certainly not least, Brandon, how do we feel? I know. We're happy, my man. I know we're
so
happy.
I was, because somebody had polluted my mind with this dusty finish when the three count happened. And he would tell you, I was like, he did it. But then The Rock was standing there. I'm like, oh my god!
That was it. I was hoping.
I was like, And I was like, the music kept going. I was like, The Rock is still standing there. It wasn't until he walked away, I said, oh, it really happened. And the time frame, I was like, wait a minute, something. But going back and thinking about it, and I told Hudis, and I said this on the show, I said, Taker wasn't supposed to be there. We all wanted Stone Cold because we all said predictable. Jay was going to neutralize Jimmy. Cena was going to neutralize Solo. And we said, oh, Stone Cold will neutralize The Rock. That was supposed to be Brock Lesnar. When you think about it, that was supposed to be Brock because he endorsed Cody. He had to be with Roman, who would have been the final person that could neutralize The Rock that has history with both of them. I was like, that's Brock Lesnar's spot. So we all wanted Stone Cold. It would have been Brock. So who's a company guy that he can say, hey, come in and do something? Because Stone Cold goes on record, I'm not in shape. I don't want to do it. You know, he wants to stay away because he wants to keep his legacy intact. Undertaker don't care. He's going to keep popping up as much as you want him there because he can't let it go. So knowing that, I was like, I'm okay with The Undertaker because I was mad initially. But I was like, that was supposed to be Brock Lesnar. That would have been so crazy if it was Brock Lesnar. Yeah, now that I say it,
You're right on the money. It would have been Lesnar.
He would have been the Hulk because they might talk about these Avengers. But I will have to say this. I'm glad we got those entrances. I wanted Downstate. I'm still mad we didn't get Downstate. I'm mad we didn't get the new version of the song. But because, man, he was blasting a new version of the song. And when we realized, I said, oh, he's winning. And Downstate recorded a new version of the song. But Cody's entrance was great because we got the prelude. I was so happy we got the prelude because AEW couldn't do it right. Triple H said, let me show you how to do it. So they did a prelude. And that band, that high school orchestra, I'm sorry, that high school orchestra performing Roman's entrance gave me chills. Being there live, and it was just like, I didn't want them to stop playing. Nope. And Roman's present, it was so epic, just watching everybody. Aura. I said, Hugh, nobody's moving. Everybody was frozen, holding their phones like, we got to record this. And it was like, to see that, 10 years from now, we're going to keep calling back this moment, this Mania, we were like, for that entrance. And to be there live and feel, and I'm a person, I was in band all from elementary all the way up through college. And to know the power that, you know, if a musician can make you feel that, that they need to just play Roman's entrance from now on. Don't let it, just let them, every show, just let them do it. It was so great. And then for him to win, and we can appreciate the fact that whether half of the raid was dusty finishes, which I hate about Roman, that it was always interference, it got a little stale. But I was a fan of Roman from the beginning. When he turned heel, I was like, this is what we need. This is different. This is nice. And to see Cody and us wrestle fans, y'all falling right into the trap. We already booking Cody to lose. We wanted Cody so much. They were like, who's going to throw Cody? Who's going to throw Cody? Who's? Yeah, we got to just enjoy that moment. We just got to enjoy it. Triple H, he's not going to wrestle. He probably won't even wrestle at Backlash. He's going to be a guest on the Grayson Waller Effect probably again. And Friday night, tomorrow, you know he's going to come out there. What do you want to talk about? Monday, he going to come out there so they can play his music and have an interview. And then next Friday, he's just going to appear. He ain't going to wrestle for a while. We ain't going to see him wrestle.
He has to wrestle. Roman Reigns treatment. Look at this. He has to wrestle. If he does not wrestle, I don't want to hear any Cody fans talking about Roman's schedule at all. He has to wrestle. I want to see Cody defend the belt twice a month.
The difference is, Cody is going to be there every single show.
I don't care about every single show. I don't care about every show. I want to see him defend.
I'm going to tell you this. I was the person that said the bloodline was dead because Roman wasn't there. But as soon as Roman showed up on TV, he had to wrestle. As soon as Roman was there, we was interested in that story. It was like something about Roman's presence. I didn't care if he didn't wrestle on SmackDown, Raw, any PLE. I just wanted to see him. When it came to health concerns, I said, get that man off TV and put him in a bubble because his health is more important. I was like, don't have him out here in the world with COVID, you know, when it was at its peak. And when he put his mask on and went through the crowd, I was like, let him stay home because of health concerns, right? But as soon as people were like, oh, the bloodline, I was like, it's dead. Roman isn't here. Cody's going to be on TV every week. He might wrestle with the, what is it called? The dark match to get the butts in the seats. But that's all I'm going to say. It was the right I'm glad that they did it now to usher in this new era, because now we're going to start seeing the fruits of Triple H labor for the last 2 years, all the battles and all the stuff. And he's basically saying, yeah, I'm it. I am that guy. Watch what I do now.
I like it. Dyson, you're the closing remarks here. Send us home, brother.
That was the greatest overbooked match in history.
Yes, sir.
I loved every second of it. Brandon said it best. That Roman entrance was just next level. It was like, it was like God. Yeah, goosebumps. Like, you know, chills down your spine. Like God mode initiated for real. That entrance was crazy. But
aura.
I was really feeling the Undertaker running. A lot of people weren't. I understood why a lot of people didn't, but I understood the backstory as to why the Undertaker made sense. I did not even think about the idea of Brock, that being Brock's spot. That's honestly genius if that was the initial plan. But yeah, overall, I think that was just such a sweet main event, and I'm on the side of the four-sided boys. Like, I wanted Roman to win that match so bad, but you know, it makes sense why Cody is the guy to dethrone Roman and why he was that guy. So, you know, I'm happy with Cody.
Listen, I get it. At the end of the day, I do understand that Cody is what's best for business because he is the biggest babyface, arguably in the last like 10 years. I just really want a Roman to pass Hogan. That's
yeah. Is Cody getting Jordan deals? Is Cody getting Jordan deals though?
You know what I mean? So it's like at the end of the day, I joke a lot, but like I really want a Roman to pass Hogan. You know what I mean?
I didn't want him to. Why build up the Mania match? We should have left it not Cody at the Mania, because I was like, well, shoot, let him do it. Because anything to erase Hogan from history, I was like, okay, exactly. Yeah, I was let him keep it the next year.
You know what I mean? Like, if you would have dropped the strap, because to me, there's two things. There's one thing I hate about Roman's reign that everybody's like, oh, it has to be a Mania. Why does it have to be a Mania? If you know it's going to be, it has to be a Mania, we can just skip every other PLE and not even watch it because he's going to hold it to a Mania. Bro, have him drop it as Survivor Series where we don't even, where we'd be caught so off guard by it. You know what I mean? We wouldn't even, bro, we'd be like, oh my God, no, it has to be a Mania. As Survivor Series, bro, that would have been crazy, especially if The Rock would have turned on Roman at Survivor Series to set up that their Mania match. I would have lost my mind, you know what I mean? But I do understand Cody's what's best for business. I'm still going to be a hater. I still don't want to see Cody with the strap for long. But at the end of the day, understand it's what's best for business. I do hope the one thing is that I want the Cody fans to understand is when you have that big of a baby face, when not that big of a heel, the fans will eventually turn on your baby face.
There it is.
Because you don't have nobody. You know, Roman obviously is the biggest heel in the industry, and there's nobody as big as him right now. We can say Randy Orton. Listen, at the end, Randy can be a heel. Randy can be a heel, but we all still love Randy.
Randy enjoying himself. Randy ain't doing nothing but going out there and having fun.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is Randy could play a heel, but we still love Randy Orton at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It's like Gunther is like everybody has earned an admiration for Gunther. There's not a heel big enough for Cody's. There's no Lex Luger for his Superman. You know what I mean? Lex Luthor for his Superman.
Not this QMJF's moment. Music.
Right. I was gonna say maybe not this moment, but I think in the very near future, with way Triple H, I'm gonna be real. We all know Triple H is well thought out when it comes to his creative. There's no reason he would have Cody win if he didn't have somebody big, a big bad guy for him to face coming down the pipeline. So maybe at the moment, from what we're seeing and from what we've been led, there's no big bad guy, but I think it's coming down the pipeline very soon.
I will say, if it is MJF, that's incredible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Oh, I want to see that. MJF is gold.
Especially MJF.
Netflix and WWE can go a little bit more on the other side of the spectrum when it comes to the PG-14. MJF could be a perfect guy for the new era.
You know what I mean? Like, MJF is gold walking. People got tired of MJF when he went face. If MJF would have stayed heel, it is easier to maintain a title run as a heel, because you can always create like a semi good guy to take down the big bad. When you're that big of a babyface, it's harder to maintain your title reign because there's not that many believable bad guys that's coming after the strap. Like, we know Karrion Kross is on NXT now. Well, we think he's on NXT full time. But we joke, but I really believe that they would throw Karrion Kross at Cody Rhodes for a three month feud. You know what I mean? It'd be ridiculous because, like, oh, he's not obviously not taking the strap off of him. Yeah. But it's like, listen, I hope you're right. I hope there is somebody coming down the pipeline to become a big enough heel.
We got one person coming back, and he could definitely come back heel, and that's Sheamus.
Yep, yeah. That's what I said on Wednesday. Sheamus is a dark horse.
I don't believe
if he could come back and do the right heel work, he could do it.
I don't believe in Sheamus. The reason I don't believe in Sheamus no more is because same thing. I don't believe in Randy. We all love Sheamus,
right?
You know what I mean. He's pasty. He's red. We love Sheamus. You know what I mean. So it's like, listen. I love. It's tough. It's actually something. It's tough. There's nobody. Honestly, you know who's a big enough heel, but it's not there on star level to actually do it. My guy Dom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think Gunther goes world heavyweight title. I don't think Gunther comes to Cody for another year.
I don't think so either.
Still champ. So it does open up a wild card. Let's hear it.
What do you guys think about the potential of Tama Tonga showing up?
Didn't they sign him too?
I think they signed him like secretly, but not secretly.
I'm tired of.
It will be interesting with Cody on the show because that would be the show that the Bloodline could unveil two new members.
That is true.
I'm tired of seeing Cody fight Samoans.
They have bullets.
I'm over it.
I think we have a lot of different opinions when it comes to who could be the first for Cody, but I want to say thank you to all of these wonderful fellas for joining the show late minute on the East Coast. I know it's late now, so I'm going to get them out of here. I want you all to plug your stuff. So, Dyson, you start first, Championship Culture, Four Sides of the Ring, and then I'm signing us off. So, Dyson, tell the people where they can find you, my man.
All right. You guys could find me at Dyson Bennett on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. You can find me on all social media platforms at Dyson Bennett. Look me up, check my stuff out, and if you're in the PA area or in the tri-state area, really come check me out. I always post my shows and stuff like that, posters of where I'm going to be at on my social media. So just check that out and come see me.
Hell yeah. Championship Culture, tell the people.
Well, you can catch me on all social media platforms. This is my personal at HASTHE3RD. And you can catch us at on IG at ChampionshipCulture_. Brandon, I'm going to let you handle the wrestling realm side of things.
You can catch us every Tuesday on our own show, Championship Culture. I'm sorry, The Wrestling Realm Presents Championship Culture. Every Tuesday, 8 p.m. by going to youtube.com/TheWrestlingRealm. And on Wednesday, the flagship show on youtube.com/TheWrestlingRealm. We broadcast on Twitter. X is Twitter. X, Instagram, Twitter. Facebook. He, like you said, one everybody has a story throwing me off. but we are from the Wrestling Realm. We are known as those Championship Culture boys where everybody has a story.
Yes, sir. He said it.
Four Sides of the Ring. You're, what's up?
You're, well, I got a brand new, you got it. Papas.
Yeah, I peeped that sticker before. I wanted to compliment it.
I got my Appreciate Four
it.
Sides of the Ring sticker that the boys gave me. I got my lighter. I was sparking a little bit earlier, you know what it.
I appreciate I got mine right here.
But you ain't got that no, belt, though.
Jesus.
What belt you talking about? What's up? You talking about this belt? This one right here?
That was a heel move.
There's an
asterisk
there. We'll talk about it.
Yo. I embraced the heel. I did it here.
Yo, so it is your boys at Four Sides of the Ring. I am Chano Hayes. We didn't get to whoop that trick or whoop that Rhodes, but there's always next time. You know what I mean, guys? You can find us on X at 4, SIDESOTR. On Instagram, I think it's just Four Sides
it's
of the Ring.
Four Sides of the Ring on Instagram. It's Four Sides of the Ring on YouTube. It's Four Sides of the Ring on TikTok.
I don't even want the Twitter account, so I don't know how you access the other accounts. It is, I'm just following them.
Little joint ventures between the guys.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Other than that, you can follow me as Life and Times on Instagram and Twitter.
If you want, you can find me on MySpace and AIM at Chenko, CHC.
Just send me a courier pigeon. That's all I need. I have right down the ledge outside.
I don't know. You guys from Baltimore. You guys might have some carrier pigeons. I don't know how you guys roll.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for joining this roundtable discussion. I hope there's many more to come in the future with all of these amazing podcasts and content creators and wrestlers in the case of Dyson. So we're now legitimate when it comes to wrestling podcasts. Thank you so much for everyone for listening and watching. Thank you all to these amazing guests. I will have all their info in the links of the description of this episode. I just want to tell everybody, go out there and enjoy some good pro wrestling. Till next time. Now they off with Mike.